Hello, everybody. It's Julie with Hepzibah Talks a Lot. And I don't quite know where this podcast is going to go. I've had a few ideas in my mind about what I'd want to talk about podcast-wise. But as I think about them, I tend to be like, that doesn't feel quite right, or wow, that's going to require a lot of research. And if anyone knows me, they know I'm not big on research. Now, as a rule, I really do enjoy researching the Bible and pulling up things to talk about. However, I have very limited time. I really don't, but school's starting, and due to that, I feel like I have very limited time. And there's books I'm supposed to be reading. In fact, I have a couple books I'm supposed to have read three chapters by Tuesday, and I haven't even started. Well, actually, that's a lie. I've started one of them, and I still have quite a bit to read. But let me kind of briefly talk about one topic and see if we keep going in that vein, or if that topic wears out and I change direction, because I tend to do that pretty easily. But I'm gonna look at Hosea because I was driving home tonight and I was thinking about the fact that I am Gomer. I really am Gomer. And if you don't know anything about Hosea, you're probably like, who's Gomer? And Gomer's a prostitute, and I don't mean that like that I'm an actual literal prostitute, because I'm definitely not. What I do mean is that I tend to chase after other lovers when I have like the greatest God of all creation. So what I mean by that, chasing after other lovers, is that I would rather do things my way, or do things I shouldn't do, because it's easier to do that than it is to follow after God and what He wants. And I think most of us can relate to that if we're honest. As I've said in previous podcasts, the main reason that people will not believe in God is not because it's hard to believe in God, because all you have to do is look at creation, as Romans 1 tells us, and we are proven without a shadow of a doubt that there is a creator. I think the intelligent design of Earth cannot be described or explained away the way that scientists attempt to, and the way people long to believe, because they'd rather not have to answer to God. But as I've said in previous podcasts, we all have to answer to God in one way or another. And it's better to answer to Him now and accept Him now than it is to do so on the day of judgment. So, I am looking at one of my study Bibles. And this is the Life Application Bible. And it's the Living Bible translation. I tend to like Amplified, the Message, and Century English version. Those tend to be my three favorites. Here in China, granted, I have access to all of those through the Bible, the YouVersion Bible app. However, here in China, I ordered two Bibles instead of bringing Bibles with me. Why I did not bring a Bible with me, I don't know, but I didn't. So I had to order these ones in, and I got them on sale. So do what you got to do with that. But it's basically saying, at one point it says, the book of Hosea is a love story, real, tragic, and true. Transcending the tale of young man and wife, it tells of God's love for the people and His response to His bride, which is in quotes. And a covenant has been made, and God has been faithful. His love is steadfast, and His commitment unbroken. But Israel, like Gomer, was adulterous and unfaithful, spurning God's love and turning instead to false gods, and wearing the. After warning of judgment, God reaffirms His love and offers reconciliation. His love and mercy overflow, but justice will be served. Yeah. So I was thinking about a lot of stuff. Like, essentially, I'm not a good person, and I can admit that without flinching, because it's true. If you look at Paul says, I am the chief among all sinners. And Paul had to carry quite a burden because he was part of the persecution of the church before Jesus called him out of that. And he responded, because God can call you out of anything, but if you ignore Him, then you're still in there. And that's just life. But in Hosea, God tells Hosea that he is to marry a prostitute and have children with her. And at one point, he doesn't even know if the children are his. Because she returns to her prostitution. She returns to the life that she has lived before. And he has to buy her off the auction block a couple of times. And so apparently I've read this since I've been in China because I have my little underlines going on here. That shocks me. I'm like, really? I read Hosea? Apparently so. Gomer has always fascinated me. There's a song by Third Day called Gomer. Is it called Gomer? Gomer's Lament? I'm making up stuff. Look it up. There's a Third Day song about Gomer. It's a good song. But it's weird that the characters of the Bible that appeal to me the most, because I don't physically live the life these women live, but their stories just reach out to me. So Gomer is one. The Samaritan woman at the well, which I will definitely be doing a podcast on, but she requires my attention fully because that is my absolute favorite story, because there's so much in that. And to do that justice, I have to really look at it. And she's this one I love the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm not even going to... I have to say, of all the women in the Bible I read about, hers is definitely my favorite. I can't express it in words. Mary Magdalene with the alabaster box is my second favorite. They're probably like right up there next to each other. But the Samaritan woman just has such power to it. Because this woman, there's something special about her. And I think people miss it. I think people miss it because they want to believe the worst. And so they do. And so she's definitely one of my favorites. So we have Gomer, we have the Samaritan woman, we have Mary Magdalene, who had demons cast out of her and everything, but she's pretty amazing too. Then we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, because even though she's worshipped and she shouldn't be, she does deserve honor, because for her to do what she did, for her even to be worthy of God calling her to that, and for her to do it, that's huge. I can't imagine that, like... just think how many people honestly believed her. Like Joseph did, because he had an angel come and tell him to believe it. But God didn't send angels to like everybody. So nobody believed it. I think most people believed that she and Joseph had done stuff. And then other people believed that she was unfaithful. And then, of course, his own brother, Jesus' own brother, didn't believe until after Jesus' death and resurrection. So... you know, I mean, our lack of belief is nothing new. But she definitely deserves looking at. So she's definitely another one of my favorite people. And then in the Old Testament, Ruth is amazing. Esther's really good too, because it definitely takes some strength to be and do what she did. But Ruth is just a special story all in all because of the fact that she's a Moabite. But that she gets to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ, which is just huge in general. But just the blessing that, like, she's a really good example of, like, that mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws can actually get along and be good friends. Hard work is actually being rewarded by God. That even people that are ignored and rejected and... because she's a Moabite in a land that does not like Moabites, and she gets to marry Boaz. I mean, just so many things about Ruth. I'm drifting. But Gomer is a good example of what not to do, but what we all do. I think it's very rare that somebody's not Gomer at some point in their relationship with Jesus, where they wander off and they do what they want to do, or they return to old habits, or they return to things that are unhealthy or not safe for them. So, like I shared in one of the other podcasts, the Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. And I think as Christians, we tend to forget that. We want to believe that we can do anything we want. And so we opt to do things we should not do. So I talked briefly about like the acceptable sins, and Christianity is getting more and more liberal, and it's a dangerous ground, because we start excusing a lot of stuff, and eventually we get to a place where we don't stand for anything. There's a country song that says you have to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And I think as long as we as Christians have this slippery slope of, oh, this is okay for me, so I'm just going to excuse this sin. And if this is okay for me, then I kind of have to excuse that for that person, and so on and so forth, to the point that we end up in a very dangerous place where we have nothing to stand on. And honestly, like we've said, if Christianity looks just like the world, which in a lot of churches and a lot of people it does, then why even live it? Because then you're giving up things, like you're giving up your weekends to go to church, and you're giving up, you're giving up certain things just because you have to as a Christian, as opposed to wanting to, changing your perspective. But if I can live like the world, but still watch my football game on Sunday without going to church, and I'm not condemning people that watch football on Sunday, so don't even go there. Why don't I just live the way I want to live and say I'm a Christian? So you'll have a lot of people in this world that'll say that they're believers or that they're spiritual, because that's the blanket response. So I recently had a conversation with someone that they were saying, he's like, I'm a Christian. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that. That's interesting. And then like the things coming out of his mouth were like, I'm like, you're not, you know, it's like a mishmash. And we're really good at that. Like, we're going to take what we want from different religions, or we're going to take what we want from the Bible, and the stuff we don't want, we're just going to ignore. So, like when God tells me stuff, I'm like, okay, because then I know I'm wrong. Like, it's hard to explain, but if you've done something or something has happened to you and your response is not the best, then, you know, God will redirect you and he'll help you. And I think that that's something that Christians have that others don't have. So something that, and I don't know if I mentioned this or just thought of mentioning it in one of my other podcasts, but there's a scripture, I think I did talk about it, in James, where, is it James? Where it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, right? So my response to things is like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, if I get to the point where I'm so upset that I'm just like saying things, it's usually because I have to vent just to get it out, so it's not staying in there in a bottle to explode at some point. But as a rule, like, if you do something that ticks me off or if I'm upset, I just don't say anything, because I would rather not speak than say something I can't take back. And I don't know, like I said, because I've had a couple podcasts I've had to delete and re-record, so I don't know if I said it in an original podcast and delete it or not. But I had, when I was younger, I would say what I felt, I would argue, I would write letters, I would whatever, I would express myself, because I wanted you to know what I felt, and I wanted you to know exactly what I thought. And as God dealt with me as I got older, he was like, yeah, it's not really worth it. Like, it's not worth it. I don't care if you agree with me, and I don't care if you have to know my side. You don't have to know my side. I don't care if you're talking about me behind my back. I can't change what people do. I can only change how I respond. So my response is usually just not to say anything. And sometimes that's actually bad, because that causes more of an issue. Because then they're like, oh, so you're going to give me the silent treatment. And it's like, well, yeah, because I don't want to say things I'll regret. But I think that we have to really be aware of what we're saying, because we can trigger things in people, or we can cause problems. And I had a point, but I lost it, because I got distracted because the cats are just doing stuff and it's throwing off my groove. But that's beside the point. So, Gomer. Gomer was a prostitute when Hosea met her. So, like, in Hosea 1, God tells him, the Lord said to Hosea, go and marry a girl who is a prostitute so that some of her children will be born to you from other men. And this will illustrate the way my people have been untrue to me, committing open adultery against me by worshiping other gods. So Hosea married Gomer. All right, and then things go pretty good. They have babies, and Jesus, or God, tells them specifically what to name the babies. And then God is telling them, you know what, you need to stop. And a lot of people believe that Gomer was like a, was not a real person, that God was just like using a vision and stuff, that Hosea never really married. I personally believe it's real, because I think Hosea would have said, God told me this is what it is like. And instead he's saying, go and do it. So, okay, so they're saying that the climate of the times then was that the kings were especially wicked. And that's what's interesting. If you start reading about the kings of Israel, you start, like, you get one that says, so-and-so was even worse than this king, and no one did as much evil as him. And then the next king was even worse than that king, and no one did as much evil as him. And you're like, jeepers, people. But yeah, aren't we? We just progressively get worse. I talked about that a little bit, I think, in the Romans one. Romans podcast. After Gomer weaned, you're not my people, Jezreel, plead with your mother, you've become a harlot. And then, their mother has committed adultery, I'll put an end to all her joy. And in chapter 3, Hosea is saying, then the Lord said to me, go and get your wife again and bring her back to you and love her, even though she loves adultery. For the Lord still loves Israel, though she has turned from other gods and offered them choice gifts. So spiritual unfaithfulness, as according to this study Bible, it talks about both spiritual and physical adultery begin with disappointment and dissatisfaction, either real or imagined, with an already existing relationship, and diverting attention from one object of devotion to another. And it's a process of deterioration. It is not usually an impulsive decision. It's the creation of a fantasy about what the new object can do for you. And the danger is that we break God's law, and feelings of disappointment and dissatisfaction are normal, and when endured, they will pass. The diverting of our affection is the first step in the blinding process that leads into sin. The process is dangerous because you don't always realize it is happening until it is too late. Such fantasy creates unrealistic expectations of what a new relationship can do, and only leads to disappointment in an existing and future relationships. So I firmly believe that, because I think Hollywood is like a major fantasy filler, and I think that we imagine things, I know I do, to be a certain way, and then we're disappointed with reality. But we shouldn't be, because Hollywood's the one that's fake and reality is what's real. But so I brought her back from slavery for a couple dollars, or bought her back from slavery for a couple of dollars and 8 bushels of barley. And I said to her, you must live alone for many days. Do not go out with other men, nor be a prostitute, and I will wait for you. And she does it again later. But yeah, so Jesus and God, they're both the same. I mean, you know what I mean. God wants us to repent. God wants us, he's bought us out of our prostitution once with the blood of Jesus, but we choose to keep going back. And then he has to come and pull us out of it, but we have to be willing to go back. So one of my favorite verses is in chapter 6, and it's verse 6. So Hosea 6, verse 6. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So, obedience is far better than us just offering up sacrifices. And he doesn't want us to just emptily give offerings. He wants us to give our time and ourselves. And to stop turning to adultery, because it's very easy. It's very easy to go with the flow. And just accept the world status quo. And so when we do that, we end up very empty in a dark place. And I think that's part of what leads to our depression and anxiety and all these other things. So we have to stop being Gomer. But it's easier said than done, because we're surrounded by temptations of this world all the time. And it's, like I said, easier to just go with the flow. Take, for instance, the fact that I have definitely been cussing a lot since I came to China, and it's a very hard habit to break. So, like, I think I'm doing really well, and then I'll turn around and I'll start saying cuss words. Now, I've definitely lessened them significantly. However, they're still there, and I need to get away from that. But I've developed the habit, so I have to undevelop the habit. When one of us becomes Gomer, or has a Gomer moment in our life, if we keep feeding that, it's gonna turn into something worse. So we need to live our lives for God and what He wants. And sometimes it's not clear what He wants. And I think that's part of where our struggle comes in. Now, with Hosea, he was told, point blank, you are going to marry a woman and she's going to be unfaithful to you. And how many of us would actually willingly do that? Very few. It's just like Mary. Like I said, like, how many people, I mean, in the heat of the moment, I might have been like, sure, God, yeah, I'll do it. But in legitimate, you know, rubber meets the road moments, would I have gone all the way to the point of obedience with Jesus Christ, me being the mother? I don't know. I don't even know if I'd be worthy of that call, honestly. Like I said, Mary, we don't know a lot about Mary, because we enter her life when God calls her to do that. So we don't know a lot about Mary, but she had to have been something special. I'm just saying. As I said, like, I feel like being Gomer, having our Gomer thing, that leads to depression and anxiety. And we see here that in verse 14, the first part of 14, it says, they lie there sleepless with anxiety and won't ask me for help. And that's chapter 7, 14a. I can tell you there's so many believers that prayer is their last resort. And they will go to human extremes. They will go to, and I'm all for counseling and everything. I definitely believe it's something that we need to, it doesn't get as much attention as it needs to get. But we need to be aware that God is the one that will give us, that peace. We don't get it anywhere else. So, without God's direction, our lives are filled with lust, cheating, selfishness, and deceit. And as long as our lives are warped by sin, we will never become the kind of people God created us to be. That's one of the notes in this book. So, we need to be who God wants us to be, who He created us to be. And we can't do that if we're focusing on the world. What is your unfaithfulness to God? Like, where is it that you're acting as Gomer to God? What sins are you excusing? What idols are you worshiping? Where are you, where are you unfaithful? And how can you not be? For me, there's quite a few areas. And I know I kind of chuckled when I said that, but that's just because I'm brutally honest with myself. I know people find that really hard to believe, but I'm one of these people that I'm legitimately like, I need to be brutally honest because that's just who I am. I hid for so long, and when I get to the place where I'm just like, I can legitimately say, like I said, I'm not a good person. I don't try to pretend like I'm this great person and I have it all together. And I'm flawed beyond expression. I have, based on, like, you know, the American Psychological Society's definition of mental illnesses. I'm sure I have some. But, like, you know, they said, like people that can't stand loud noise, like, loud chewing, that's, like, a form of mental illness. I'm like, yeah, well, I literally can't. And China is not the place to go if you don't like loud chewing, because they do that here all the time. I used to have to put my headphones on. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you guys, it's so bad. They slurp, and it's really bad. If you have an issue with that, beware if you come to China. Just beware, because they don't eat quietly here. It's considered a compliment to eat noisy. So, it's very awkward. But, like, what are my distractions? What are the things that I worship in the place of Christ? And so, for me, it's definitely entertainment. And I say that quite with, like, a little bit of a grain of salt. I don't like silence. So, when I say entertainment, I mean, like, I have to have something on. Like, right now, I don't have anything turned on because I'm recording. But I am talking, so noise. I have to have something on. It's really hard for me to be still. In the few moments where God is like, just be still and let me just kind of, I'm like, I really should be saying something. I should be worshiping. I should be singing or speaking or just praising you. I have a really hard time just not speaking and not doing and being still. I have a really hard time with that. My first impulse when I get home is to turn on something, whether it's music or a downloaded video or, you know, Amazon Prime to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or whatever the heck I'm going to be putting on that day. I have to have something in the background, something going on. And this makes it really difficult for me to do what I need to do, like read my textbook, because while I can read while I have noise going on, because I do it all the time, to read a textbook is a lot harder because you have to focus. So, like, I had to tell myself coming home tonight, like, okay, God, I'm going to do a podcast. So, right when I get in, I'm going to, you know, do whatever I got to do to get through the day or to set myself up for the day. And then I'm going to just turn everything off and sit down and do a podcast. And there was even at one point in this podcast, I'm like, I should probably just delete this and I could do one tomorrow. But I think it's okay. It's not going to go much longer. I'm going to wrap it up now in these next few minutes, honestly. So, yay. But where are you unfaithful? Like, where is your Gomer? Like, where are you Gomer, I should say? Where are you going back into the prostitution? What is the things that God delivered you from or saved you from that you return to that you shouldn't? Now, one of the things that God showed me when I was, well, not when I was young, but when I was younger, was that you're never strong enough to go back to something. So we think like, oh, as a Christian, I am now strong enough. So I'll give you an example. I used to really, I shouldn't even say used to, because I still would enjoy them, but I would devour V.C. Andrews books. I thought these books were amazing. I had a huge collection. I wanted to own every single one of V.C. Andrews books. Every single one. Now, V.C. Andrews died a few books into writing, and someone else took it over and pours out the same. Her novels are dark. V.C. Andrews' novels are very dark. I said her, I don't know. But V.C. Andrews' novels are extremely dark, and most of them have rape, incest, or some other kind of dark sexual tinge. I love those books. And at one point, God had to deal with me about it. And he had to say, you know what? This is feeding an appetite in you that you need to get rid of. And the unfortunate thing, because even as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, because there's one, the Runaways series. I just would love to read that again. But God's like, you're never going to be strong enough to read V.C. Andrews again. It's got a darkness that triggers something within me that whets an appetite that causes sin. And it's a vicious circle. So I have to make the conscious decision to never read a V.C. Andrews book again. And that's a big deal for me because, like I said, V.C. Andrews is one of my favorite authors, or I should say is one of my favorite authors. But the books are so dark that it's unhealthy for me to return to it. And no matter how I could be completely, I'm not going to say sin-free because I don't believe you can do that here, but like as close to that as you can get, where I am just strong and I'm leading people to Christ. I'm being an evangelist. I'm teaching God's word. I'm doing what he's called me to do, whatever that may be. I'm living the life he has for me, but I'm still never going to be strong enough to pick up a V.C. Andrews novel and read it. So there are things in your life that you, God had you get stop doing or get rid of, and you brought it back in because you'd been saved for a while and you thought, oh, well, now I've been saved for a while and I'm stronger. There are certain things that you are never strong enough to put back into your life. There are things you should never put back in your life. But then there are things that, like V.C. Andrews, it's a book, right? And it's not like this gore, it's not like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. It's not like this gory sexual book full of graphic sexual activity. There's just so much darkness to that writing that it's not something I'll ever be strong enough spiritually to read without it affecting my life. Will I still go to heaven? Yes. Will I still live for Christ? Yes. Could I still be a strong evangelist, preacher, whatever God has me doing? Yes. But I would be doing things in this one area, reading these books. I would be thinking of things, or I would be entertaining things, or I would actually actively be doing something that these books encourage. Which, I know that sounds really weird, but as I was talking, you could probably immediately think of something that God had told you to stop, and you did, and then you said two or three years down the road of being a Christian, oh, it's okay, I can start that up again. That is the Gomer moment. That is you returning to your old things. And that's what this podcast is challenging you to do. Take a look at what it is that you're returning to, or what it is you're allowing to take place in your life, and stop. Because there are things that you will never spiritually be strong enough to do. And not because it's going to like make you backslide, not because it's going to, you know, make you lose your ministry or your marriage or anything like that. But it's things that become an idol in your life, something that takes God's place, and you become adulterous in your relationship with him because you're focusing on these things that he had you remove, but you thought, oh, I've been saved for fill in the blank years. I am now strong enough. When God tells you to stop something, he's not telling you to stop it for a season and pick it back up. Although sometimes he might, but he would tell you that clearly. For example, as I close this podcast, I was very obsessed with Bon Jovi to the point that I would dream about John Bon Jovi. I kind of miss those dreams because they were just so fun. They were never sexual. They were just so like uber romantic and like so out there. Like going to his concert and being able to meet him backstage. Just like the most random things. I really miss those dreams. I miss dreaming in general, but that's a podcast for another time. But I was really obsessed. And people that knew me back then can attest to that. Very, very obsessed. And there was a sermon, and they were saying, like, God wants that place in your heart that you've given to someone else, whether it's your spouse or it's, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He wants that place, so you need to give him that place. So I was talking to my friends at the time, and I'm like, I don't really have that place. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. I thought it was reading, and it wasn't. Because they were like, oh, you know, it's like how you love to read. And I'm like, but even if I had to give up every single book of the world, and God told me, like, you can't even read Christian books. Like, you can't read, and God never told me this, but if God's like, you can't read books at all. Like, of course, obviously textbooks he would allow, but you know, you can't like read for pleasure. You can't, no, it's just the, you know, but I'd still be able to read the Bible. So even if I could never read another book again, I could still read the Bible, right? Because God wouldn't say, and don't read my word, because why would he do that? Then you know it's the devil, right? So even if it was like you could never read another book again, I could still read the Bible. So I could still read. And then, like I said, if I was in school, I'd have to read the textbooks, so I could still read that. I'd have to read for work. So although I couldn't truly read for pleasure, if that was truly my love, then, you know. So I was trying to think, and I was like, I can't think of anything, can't think of anything. And then one day God's like, because I don't remember how I thought of John Bon Jovi, but I did. And God's like, that's what I want. I want the part of your heart that you gave to him. So let me explain this to you as quickly as I can. When I was in junior high, okay, let's backtrack just a smidge. I think men with long hair, the right kind of long hair, are extremely attractive. That is like, that's why I don't have crushes on anybody, because to find a guy my age, thereabouts, with long hair that's attractive is very, very difficult. And even when I was like in high school and stuff, it wasn't like a big thing for guys to have long hair. So I should have been in high school in the 80s, but I was born in the 80s. So there goes that. But anyway, long hair was kind of out of fashion by the time I was in high school and, you know, really finding it attractive. John Bon Jovi had a song, or has a song, called Always, and he has a music video. If you're going to look up this music video, look for the short version, because the long version is just stupid. It has all these, like, this guy and girl throughout the whole thing, and it's just pointless. What you want to see is the one where it's just John and the band singing the song. It's the short version, and it is, okay, it's him with his shoulder length, slightly curled, thick hair, and he's wearing a wife beater, and his tattoos are showing on his very nicely sculpted arms, and he's singing to you, and he's holding this microphone. I'm sorry, there's something about that, and it just captivated me. I had, okay, so that legitimately was like my first, I knew he did Living on a Prayer and all that, but my first exposure to John Bon Jovi was that music video on VH1, when it used to show music videos. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is like dreamy beyond dream. And that's where it began. And it just magnified by a billion. So I was in junior high when that happened. And by the time God spoke to me, I was in my late 20s. So God told me, and by this point, I had been so obsessed that I have his name tattooed on my ankle. So you know it's obsession. So I have John Bon Jovi tattooed on my ankle. I know. Yeah, deep confessions now. So ultimately, what happened was God told me that he wanted that place. I fully had 100% given John Bon Jovi a place of my heart, and I'd never met the guy and never will, which is okay. Not a big deal. The point is, literally had him, given him a part of my heart that he should not have. So I was like, oh my gosh. So then God tells me, you need to not listen to Bon Jovi. So here's my kicker for that. When I said God told me I had to stop reading V.C. Andrews, he basically told me forever. When it came to Bon Jovi, he's like, you need to stop for a while. Okay? You have to know God to know what he's telling you and not just make it up to make it work for you. So God said, you need to, he didn't tell me to throw away. And how I know this is because he has told me things. Like my mom asked me to get rid of my dragons, and I'm like, no. And I was talking to God, and I'm like, God, I don't worship dragons. I think they're cool. I like fantasy. I think fantasy stories are my favorite. And I was like, I just like dragons because they're cool. And my mom was concerned because they do represent the devil in the Bible. And I'm like, but I'm not like building a shrine to dragons. I'm not like worshiping them. But at one point when I was telling God this, he said, but if I asked you, would you get rid of them? And I said, yes. And so I did. I gave them to a friend that loved dragons. So God didn't tell me I could never buy another dragon, but I just pretty much took it as a, you know, all right, well, there you go. I own a few random dragons, but I used to have like dragons displayed all over the place. And so every once in a while I'll buy a dragon, because God didn't tell me never own another stuffed dragon or dragon figurine, or, you know, he never told me that. He was just like, would you get rid of them? V.C. Andrews, never own or read another V.C. Andrews book. Bon Jovi, God didn't tell me throw away your CDs, blah, blah, blah. But he said, pull all of his music off of your MP3 player, put away his CDs, don't have them in your car to listen to. I had to like totally cold turkey Bon Jovi, and that was hard. That was hard because that was all I would listen to. And this was around the time when Wild Hogs and all that was coming out. And so like this is when his It's My Life song was like out there, and You Want to Make a Memory. out there. And so, like, where you didn't normally hear Bon Jovi a lot, you would start to hear him a lot on radio stations. So I had to change station channels and everything. It was crazy. But essentially, God had me do that. And it worked, people. I still totally admire John Bon Jovi. I still like his music. But that obsession is definitely dead. But I still really enjoy his music. And I can, because that obsession is dead. I feel like it's healthier. Point in case, as I ramble, which I do very well, and now have made this longer than the 30 minutes it was going to be. But I'm almost done, I promise. I was in the middle of this Bon Jovi fast, where God was taking that part of my heart and making it his. And then my brother was like, hey, happy birthday, I bought you tickets to Bon Jovi. Now, here's the thing, folks. I would never have been able to go to a Bon Jovi concert because I would have died. I would have hyperventilated and died. But because I was willing to obey God and give him that place of my heart, he used my brother to bless me to give me tickets. So my brother bought me 2 tickets, and he was going to drive me and whoever I wanted to take with me to Texas. And he and his girlfriend at the time were going to go to a baseball game, and my friend and I were going to go to Bon Jovi. So basically, we had a whole day, my friend and I, where we were able to go to the zoo together and hang out, and then that night go to the Bon Jovi concert, and it was awesome. And honestly, God was like, here you go. And so that was God's gift to me for that part of my heart no longer being taken over by Bon Jovi. And if people want to look at it the flip way, then God was like, oh, my daughter's going to die if she goes to this concert. So let me deliver her from that obsession so that when her brother gives her these, she doesn't die. You can look at it either way. But I prefer to look at it the other way, the first way, that God wanted to bless my obedience. And I believe that's what he will do. If you look at Hosea, he ends up doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And he has to deal with Gomer, but he's able to get the message to Israel so Israel can repent, and the message to us so we can look for the moments where we're Gomer in our lives with Christ and not have Christ have to keep chasing after us and pulling us away from our prostitution to other idols and other gods in our lives. So I hope this spoke to you. I feel like it was really rough going at the beginning. So if you listened all the way to this point, kudos. Very awesome for you to listen that long. And I hope my Bon Jovi story spoke to you. Just know that you have to be very sensitive. If God says, get rid of these and never bring them back in, then don't bring them back in. It's been a struggle with V.C. Andrews because a new book comes out every once in a while. And I'd walk through Walmart and be like, oh my gosh, it's a V.C. Andrews book. And I'd want to pick it up so bad just to read the back of it. And even as I'm talking about it now, like, I desperately, like I mentioned, I desperately want to, like, find a V.C. Andrews book to read. Something about that writing is just, I eat it up. I don't know what it is. But there are things that God tells you, you'll never be strong enough spiritually to let it back into your life. And there are things that he's like, yeah, just take a break from it because you're becoming a little bit obsessive. And now you can let it back in your life. And you really are legitimately changed if you do that. Because I'm like, I'm okay. I can listen to Bon Jovi, I can watch things, and I'm totally fine. So, I feel like I'm more blessed. But anyway, there it is. Take it or leave it. And I hope you enjoyed our podcast. And share it with your friends. And like I said, the content from now on is going to be more focused on spiritual things. Because that's why I started this podcast. And I'd like to like return to where I was. I'd like to return to teaching God's word. So I will definitely have podcasts in the future that have more content, may even have like worksheets I can give you a link to download, that kind of thing. But maybe I'll do the Armor of God one, because that one, I have a whole study of the Armor of God. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you later. Hello, everybody. It's Julie with Hephzibah Talks a Lot. I'm just going to take 1 second, okay, maybe a little longer, to talk to you about writing.com. Now, I'm not doing this for any money or anything. I'm just letting you know about a great supportive community that I think it would be great for you to join. Writing.com has been around for a long time. They actually started out as stories.com, and I stumbled on them when I was a lot younger and joined, and eventually they got too big for that domain and became writing.com in order to encompass more than just storytelling. This website is amazing. It is a community of writers and readers. So if you're not a writer but you love to read, join writing.com. If you don't really read a lot because you're so busy but you love to write, join writing.com. If you're a little bit of both, join writing.com. It's an amazing community. Now you can get a free account and then they have paid memberships. I currently just do the second tier, the upgraded membership, and it allows me to have more items in my portfolio. I love to pay to have a membership because I love to support writing.com. That's the main reason that I pay to keep my membership updated and current. But I just wanted to have an advertisement about writing.com. Once again, not for any monetary gain. It's not even an official one. They won't even know I'm doing it. But I just want to encourage people to go and join writing.com. It is truly a place that has helped me develop as a writer. It has helped me be encouraged. And I have met people there that have been my friends through the distance online and have supported me and offered me advice with my writing and have been there with me or for me as I've made these transitions to China and other locations. So once again, writing.com, writing.com. Join today.